Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Stephen Erie, who is a professor of political science and the director of the Urban Studies Program at the University of California, San Diego. He's the author of Beyond Chinatown, the Metropolitan Water District Growth and the Environment in Southern California, and most recently, Paradise Plundered, Fiscal Crisis and Governance Failures in San Diego, which won the Best Urban Book Award from the American Political Science Association. He helped write San Diego's new Strong Mayor form of government, served on the Governor's Infrastructure Commission, and advises public officials, businesses, and community leaders in Southern California on the policy challenges facing the region. Welcome to Background Briefing, Stephen Erie.
Great to be here, Ian.
And your mayor, who's now got a handle, Filthy Filner, I mean.
Filthy Filner and Groper by the Sea. This replaces, 10 years ago, Enron by the Sea. We are home to Groper by the Sea. And I'm afraid, Ian, that his greatest sin in San Diego is not groping 16 women, but subjecting America's finest city to shame and ridicule on late-night TV. It's a cardinal offense here. We're very thin-skinned.
Well, according to a poll that was just done in San Diego, 81% of San Diegans feel that Filner should resign, 75% say that they would sign a recall petition, and 20% said they would volunteer and work on the recall campaign, and 15% said they'd donate money to it. So what are the chances of a recall working, and how long will that take?
Well, a recall would work if we didn't have amateur governance in San Diego. There are unconstitutional provisions in the municipal code in terms of recalls. We had, after Gray Davis's recall at the state level, a court case. It's called the Partnoy case that declared the state election code on recall unconstitutional, i.e., the requirement that you have to vote in the recall election to vote for the replacements. Well, we've got the same language here. It's been sitting here for years. Nobody has bothered to change it to make it constitutional. The question is, with the recall that was launched yesterday, based upon an unconstitutional provision in the municipal code, what will happen when the city council finally next week gets around to changing the municipal code to make it constitutional and another 30 days for a second reading? Will we have to go back to square one in about 40 or 45 days and do this whole exercise over? This is full employment for lawyers.
Well, it's also going to be expensive. Doesn't the city have to foot the bill, which I believe is like $37 million?
You mean in terms of running an election? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have odd-year city elections in San Diego, like many California cities, harking back 100 years ago to the progressive era. In the 1990s, we moved from odd-year to even-year elections, i.e., the same time as state and federal elections, and it was all about saving money. It's just that people didn't realize the mayoral election is in a presidential year, and that's a great, great time for high turnout for Democrats.
And this is the first Democrat mayor that San Diego has had in how long? Several decades?
Well, in 20 years. But
20
this
years.
Is the first sort of Los Angeles or Bay Area liberal Democrat. The previous Democratic mayors, Maureen O'Connor, Frank Curran, we would call them in a place like L.A. dinos, Democrats in name only. They're centrist, they're moderate, they frequently vote with the Republicans. You know, Filner, as a liberal Democrat, was a marked man from day one in this town, certainly in terms of challenging the power structure, the prerogatives of developers, of hoteliers, and he did with relish. And then he handed them all of this in terms of sexual harassment and groping and whatever inappropriate comments and actions. He handed his opponents basically a weapon on a silver platter.
Again, I'm speaking with Stephen Erie, who's a professor of political science and director of the Urban Studies Program at the University of California, San Diego. He's the author of Paradise Plundered, Fiscal Crisis and Governance Failures in San Diego, and he wrote San Diego's New Strong Mayor Form of Government, served on the Governor's Infrastructure Commission, and advises public officials, businesses, and community leaders in Southern California on the policy challenges facing the region. Now, there's no question that San Diego is a very right-wing Republican town in an otherwise blue state of California. Big presence of the U.S. Navy. I believe a very right-wing billionaire bought the local paper, did he not? And you already had some pretty conservative mayors before Filner came along. You just told us that he's handed them a gift on a platter with his behavior. Their knives are sharpening.
Ian, if I can just interrupt, this was a red town. It has been trending purple for the last 20 years. I mean, it gave majorities to Barack Obama in terms of the presidential vote. The growth of the Latino population, the kind of high-tech workers that are involved in areas and industries around UC San Diego. It's really moved in a more democratic direction. In fact, Democrats now have the registration lead over Republicans in the city. But the power structure, the town's leading newspaper, the downtown business community is still resolutely Republican. Some would say right-wing, others would say ultra-conservative. But we now have a newspaper under Doug Manchester, hotelier, where he took a mediocre paper and turned it quickly into one of the worst newspapers in the country. It is yellow journalism at its worst. His conservative agenda, his financial interest represented on the editorial page, they don't just bleed into the news section. They hemorrhage. In fact, on Sunday, the Union Tribune, the UT San Diego as it's now called, basically had a section called All About the Recall that went well beyond the legal requirements of publishing news about a recall, and it serves basically as a campaign document for the recall movement. In fact, I've suggested only half in jest that they need to report what they've done as an in-kind contribution to the recall campaign.
Well, there's no question that this newspaper owner down there, and you're quite right, I mean, he does make Rupert Murdoch
look like a lefty.
Look like a lefty, and a restrained and modest lefty at that. But in terms of Filner's resume, I mean, he was... work with the Freedom Riders in the civil rights movement. He is a absolutely pedigreed all-American liberal, a very endangered species at that. The idea that this guy would get this kind of victory, make this inroads in this Republican power structure, and then allow himself to be, you know, what, sexually harass 16 women, I mean, and then go into therapy and then say he's had enough therapy and he's all ready to go back to work. I mean, there's something missing in...
Well, there's something missing here, and there are elements of a Greek tragedy. You know, such promise and yet, you know, such a turnaround in fortunes. Here was a mayor who came in promising to put the neighborhoods first rather than downtown. We've basically had downtown-centered politics, agenda, and benefits for years and years in this town, who basically took on the powers that be, the hoteliers, the developers, you know, did things like ended the red light cameras. This was very popular in this town. But the power structure and the dominant media were against him from day one. In fact, the UT San Diego, the editorial group, during the primary, it was recorded. They basically said, we want to make sure that the runoff has everyone but Bob Filner. They were against him from day one. He needed to be holier than Caesar's wife once he got elected. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case.
And isn't there a very zealous city attorney, Goldsmith, who's tied into the power structure that's really...
Zealous is putting it kindly. He's rabid. He hates Filner both personally. He's on the opposite side of the political spectrum as Filner. He's botched a couple of high-profile cases, the Bank of America case. He's also given the city council very dubious legal advice. There are many in this town who think that he's a political hack, a second-rate hack, and basically a lapdog for the downtown crowd. In fact, watching his behavior, I mean, he's going after Filner, trying to get the city council to remove Filner from office for fraud, for misuse of the city credit card, putting pizzas and juicers and a couple of high-priced meals on it. I mean, he's an elected city attorney, but he's the best argument I've seen yet for an appointed city attorney in this town, and he actually makes our former city attorney, populist Mike Aguirre, look much better in comparison.
So, but his overzealousness and incompetence still won't be enough to protect Filner from this avalanche that's coming down. He's got Gloria Allred, the well-known attorney, representing a number of the women that have been sexually harassed. And some of the women, one of, I believe, is a naval officer who had been sexually harassed inside the Navy. One is a great-grandmother. I wouldn't want to be Bob Filner's defense attorney. Would you?
No, absolutely. I mean, his conduct is morally reprehensible. The question is, I mean, this is probably a mayor who needs, basically a physical exam. Is it a prefrontal problem? He also needs to talk to a psychiatrist. There is something seriously wrong in terms of his behavior towards women. The interesting thing is, Ian, a lot of this was sort of known in the rumor mill during the mayoral campaign. Why did nothing surface? The DeMaio people, the conservative candidate, right, in the runoff against Filner, they went looking. So did the reporters in town. But I guess they had found a few women who claimed, but none of the women refused to come forward. I guess it took one, Irene McCormick Jackson, his Filner's press secretary, to start the avalanche, right? We're still waiting for the first woman who spent a lot of time with Filner to say, no, he didn't do inappropriate things with me. But that person hasn't stepped forward yet.
So has anybody, I mean, Nancy Pelosi has asked him to step down and get a clue, I think is what she said. Has he, to your knowledge, has anybody ever spoken to him? Did anybody ever speak to him at the time of the election saying, you know, you got to, you know, straighten up and fly right now?
Well,
they're out to get you, you know?
There were Democratic officials who knew about past examples of misconduct that went to the County Democratic Party to complain. The County Democratic Party evidently didn't do anything. Donna Fry went to Bob Filner before she went public and tried to get him to mend his ways, and I guess he sort of blew her off and forced her to go public. And, of course, that started because Donna evidently had talked to Irene McCormick Jackson, the former press secretary who's filed with Gloria Allred the sexual harassment lawsuit. But, you know, Filner, in a sense, right, has dug himself into an extraordinarily deep, deep hole. But the interesting thing is the more, Ian, that he stays in office and refuses to resign, the more it reveals about the nature of San Diego's political culture, power structure, and politics. As the other side, ever more desperate, right, tries to find new means to replace him. America's finest city is fast becoming America's finest banana republic.
So it's becoming a plague on both their houses then.
Absolutely. And right now, as I said, it's more revealing in terms of the overreach of an overzealous city attorney. He's grasping at straws, trying to bring Filner down. Frankly, if they removed him from office from unauthorized personal use of his credit card for pizzas and juicers, basically, the same standard applied to the city council, you wouldn't have a quorum. And the irony is that the conservatives in this town, who so pushed the strong mayor system, are in the process of gutting that system to get Filner.
Well, just in closing, Stephen Erie, you know, listening to this story about Filner, your mayor, as now, as I mentioned in the opening, is now referred to as Filthy Filner. It reminds me of a little of Bill Clinton as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember having similar conversations back then during the Lewinsky affair.
Yes.
And one of the things that came to my mind, and I remember asking some of the supporters of Clinton at the time about this, you know, remember Jack Kennedy had a real appetite for women. And
appetite is the word.
Right. And they had a couple of women on the National Security Council that were there called codenamed Fiddle and Faddle that would swim with him in the White House pool. And everybody knew what he was up to, but they figured this was who he was and this is what he needed. And that was how it was done then.
Yes.
And, you know, you think, you wish in ways that we had a culture like the French do, that could separate these things out, so these men who have this appetite wouldn't have to, you know, behave so desperately. I mean, there are professional sex workers out there that apparently can deal with these issues. You know,
so but you've got to pay them in cash rather than a credit card, as Elliot Spitzer discovered.
Well, that doesn't seem like a no-brainer. You know,
but here's the thing. You know, Filner came out of a Washington culture that still, right, you know, there's a lot of, you know, don't ask, don't tell in D.C. You can get away with a lot more. But you come to a small town. I mean, San Diego may be the eighth largest city, but it behaves very much like a small puritanical town. You know, you've got to mend your ways. He just didn't do it.
That's putting it mildly.
Mildly. Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Okay. Well, I thank you for joining us here, Stephen Erie.
Okay, Ian, thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Stephen Erie, who's professor of political science and director of the Urban Studies Program at the University of California, San Diego. He's the author of Paradise Plundered, Fiscal Crisis and Governance Failures in San Diego, which won the Best Urban Book Award from the American Political Science Association. And he helped write San Diego's new Strong Mayor form of government, served on the Governor's Infrastructure Commission, and advises public officials, businesses, and community leaders in Southern California on the policy challenges facing the region. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.